Be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning for our text. If you could turn with me or open up your text to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, where Paul talks about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 23, and I think it would be good as we recall what the Lord has done for us that we stand in respect as we read God's Word this morning. So if you would stand, if you can stand, please stand with us as we read God's Word this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." Lord, such an important passage this morning that we're covering. I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts, will guide my tongue, that I'll speak your truth, and that your Spirit will open up my heart and each heart here to the words that we need to hear, the things that we need to remember, the things that we need to examine, and the attitudes that we need to check this morning. May you be honored and glorified. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is super frustrating, and I don't know if it's an age thing or if this has always been my trouble, but don't laugh. I thought somebody snickered at my age thing, but it's hard for me to remember names, and it's frustrating when I draw a blank, and I know exactly who I can see the face, and I can't find the name. It's nowhere there. And in the middle of the night, I sit up or I wake up and I was like, that's who it was. I do finally come to it. It's so frustrating to forget a name. But, you know, faces, I rarely forget faces. And maybe you're different with that. You're better with names than faces. But, boy, I rarely forget faces. Some things are easy to remember. Other things just kind of elude our minds. Some people say it's easier to fix a picture with the principal and you can remember it better. I don't know. So I think that helps me. May help you too as well. Jesus gave his followers a way to remember what was happening that was going to happen in his life there toward the end of his life. He gave his disciples some things to help them with their memory, and it also helps us with our memory to remember what Christ had done when he suffered and died on the cross. He used the elements of the Passover feast, which was happening at that very time of last week, the Passion Week. He used the elements from the Passover feast as a way of helping them to remember and to never forget what he was about to do for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first four verses there. Jesus said, do this to remember. Do this to remember. The things that caused amnesia to set in the Israelites were the very same things that cause us to forget. And it's kind of interesting. I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy to cover some verses, some reminders that God was saying to the Israelites. He said it at least 8 times, if not 10 or more times to the Israelites, to never forget what God has done. Verse 9 of chapter 4, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and that they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Don't forget. Verse 23, so watch yourselves so that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord your God which he made with you. And make yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. Don't forget. Chapter 6, verse 12. And watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He is saying, don't forget when things are going well and you come upon these vineyards that you didn't even have to plant and you're harvesting all this good produce that you didn't even have to labor over, don't forget that it was God that brought you out of Egypt and provided for you. Going on into chapter 8, verse 10. Actually, in verse 2 it says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord has led you in the wilderness for these 40 years. And then in verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. And he goes on, and otherwise after you have eaten and are satisfied and you've built your good houses and your herds and your flocks multiply, in verse 14, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And in verse 19, it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord. He keeps reminding them, do not forget. Do not forget. If you forget, you're going to lose out. You're going to lose out. In verse 7 of chapter 9, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. Remember when you sinned, how that affected your relationship. Don't forget. Don't forget. And then again in chapter 25, he gives another sobering reminder, 25, verse 19. Therefore it shall come about when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. You must not forget. You must not forget. So apparently the Israelites had trouble remembering. And we do too. And this passage in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians is a reminder for us to call to our remembrance what Christ has done for us. This is my body. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup and after the supper saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Passover feast had two main purposes. It had many purposes, but two of the main purposes was to remember how the blood of the Lamb had protected the Israelites in Egypt from the death angel. And also it pointed forward to the Lamb that was to come and provide the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus was showing his disciples how he fulfilled that Passover feast. The disciples didn't get it. They didn't quite understand exactly what he is talking about. They were confused. But in the days to come, in the weeks to come, it would unravel in their mind what Jesus was saying to them at this time. And they would remember what he had said to them. The bread represented his body that was given up as a sacrificial lamb. And the cup represented his blood that was poured out for the payment required for people's sin. Jesus initiated a new covenant that took the place of the old covenant. This new covenant offers salvation through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice. We no longer are held captive by the law that condemns us. Now we can find forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is offered up once and for all to cover our sins. No more need for the goats and the calves, as Hebrews 9 verse 12 says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. It's incredible what Christ's sacrifice did for us. And every time they were to take these elements, he told the disciples, every time that you do this, you're proclaiming, you're preaching, you're announcing, you're showing to your children, you're showing to your neighbors, you're showing to your brothers and sisters that Jesus Christ has died for your sins. And as you partake of that, your neighbor sees that you are relying on Christ's sacrifice for your forgiveness of your sins. And you're to do it, Jesus said, until I come again, until he comes again. Under the old covenant, they were reminded every year that they had to offer up another animal sacrifice once again for their sins. That was to be repeated year after year after year. And since there's no more need for these sacrifices, since Christ's sacrifice was perfect and it met all the requirements of the law, they needed a new reminder, and this is it. This is it. It's like a sampler of the banquet that's going to take place in heaven. It's a little taste of what, it's a snack, if you will, of what's going to happen at the banquet feast in heaven. When we'll be in his presence, we'll need no more reminders because we're there with him for eternity. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Look upon his face, see the wonders of his grace. He'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. That's an amazing concept to realize that we'll be with God in his presence forever and ever. What an exciting thing to look forward to. What an amazing thing for us to remember regularly. He didn't say how many times we should do it every year. We struggle with that. I think we're probably erring on the side that we don't do it enough. We don't recall his sacrifice enough. Some err on the side of it becomes mundane, it becomes routine, and they don't even think about what they're doing, and they just do it, and they don't remember what Christ went through for our sins. That brings me to the next point, to examine ourselves. Verses 27 through 32. I had my annual physical here a couple weeks ago. All the blood work and everything. And just as a doctor's examination can prevent some headaches and grief on down the road if it's discovered earlier through examination, an honest self-examination of our heart can spare you from God's discipline and correction of failing to recognize and confessing sin in your, in my life. Here's a question for you. How's your soul? How is your soul? whoever takes of this communion, these symbols in an unworthy manner. What is he speaking of when he says this unworthy manner bit? I think it we'd do well to dig into this just a little bit. The word unworthy means to be disrespectful or an improper way to take of it in a disrespectful manner. And I think to understand it, you need to look at the background. So look at the chapter a little bit, the verses just before this, beginning at verse 17. Paul says, he's describing some, they're having some conflict in the Corinthian church. And he says in verse 17, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for better, but for the worse. You're coming together for the wrong reasons. The wrong reasons are bringing you to this place. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part, I believe it. There were divisions. People were at each other. They didn't like the color of carpet. Oh, let's not go there. We don't have any problem with that. We got all the colors in it, so we don't. Nobody can complain, right? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. There were divisions. They were at each other. That wasn't what was the unity that Christ had died for. For in the first place, when you come together as church, I hear divisions exist. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, don't you have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? This I will not praise you. They were coming together, and it was like they came to our potluck. If you've been to one of our potlucks, we have a lot of food there. And usually it's the servers who go through last, and sometimes they're scraping the corners, and there's not a lot left. And some of them were coming, and they were just gorging themselves, butting in line, they were ignoring the people who were desperately in need of getting through the line and getting something healthy to eat. They were ignoring those in need, and they were gorging themselves. They were self-centered, thinking only of themselves and their own schedule, because the game came on at 12 or 1 o'clock and they needed to be home in time for that game. And they wasn't going to let somebody slow in front of that line in front of them. That's the attitude that they were going when they were coming together to eat together. And when they were celebrating, when they were remembering, trying to remember Christ's sacrifice, that was nowhere in the picture. They were too busy, self-centered, trying to figure out what they needed and how to meet their own needs, that they weren't even thinking about what Christ had done for them. And when they did take the Lord's Supper together, it was to satisfy their hunger. And I know I wasn't able to tell everybody that we're having communion today, and so that you could have had your donut before you came. This isn't going to satisfy your hunger, okay? This will satisfy your spiritual hunger, but it's not going to satisfy your hunger this morning. Don't be anticipating getting drunk off of this grape juice, because you're not going to get a lot of it anyway. But they were like taking the whole tray, and one guy was taking it all for himself, with ignoring the needs and ignoring the purpose of what was taking place. That was in a disrespectful manner, in an unworthy manner. It would be similar to us going to the communion table and taking communion like we do normally, and forgetting the reason behind what Jesus did was to pay for our sins. And we don't examine ourselves to see if there's something going on in our lives that we need to take care of. Just like going to the doctor and he says, you need to watch your weight or whatever. He didn't say that. Thank you. I needed that, but I didn't even hear that. But when we remember and we examine ourselves, we can take care of those sin issues so that God can continue to work in our hearts. So this self-examination that we do now is to examine ourselves to see if there's some sin or something that's in our lives that God is not pleased with. So this morning, if you're questioning, man, I probably shouldn't take communion today because I wronged my brother last week and I need to confess that. No, I encourage you, if there's sin in your life right now, I encourage you, take communion and thank God that He's provided a way for your forgiveness. And confess your sin while you do this. That's what we need to do. And if we ignore the sin in our life and we continue to take communion like this is a fun thing to do, this is great, this is just exciting, it's kind of fun, everybody's together and we all do this together, this is a wonderful feeling in our hearts. But if we fail to examine ourselves, that sin will creep in like a cancer and eventually destroy us if we don't take care of it. So that's the point of examining ourselves, seeing if there's something in our heart that is not right, that is not agreeing with what God's will is for our lives. So this morning, as we will eventually go to the table here, as we're even talking about it now, I think you should be praying along with me, Lord, is there something that I need to be dealing with that you want me to confess and make right with a brother or sister? Maybe it's just in my own heart that I'm not surrendering to you, Lord. As I take this communion, remind me of what you went through for me. The suffering that you went through, the death that you went through, the horrible death that you went through because of my sin. Remind me, Lord, and help me to run away from this sin. Run away from this temptation that keeps haunting me, keeps dogging me, keeps weighing me down. This communion is to call attention to those things in our lives that need correction. How is your soul? How is your soul? We don't deal with the sin, God will eventually deal with it in our lives, okay? I mean, it's not like it's going to go away. It's so much better to resolve a court case before it goes to court, correct? It saves you a lot of dollars, and it saves you a lot of grief, and it probably saves you a lot of troubles on down the road. Same way with God's judgment. It's so much better to confess our sins and make them right with God and allow Him to work in our hearts than to say, oh, I'm just going to shove it under the carpet. It doesn't affect anybody else but me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Our sin affects so many people. Even if it's in our thoughts, it affects our relationships around us. And if we don't deal with it, it will work like a cancer. And it'll eventually destroy our lives. How is your soul? Failing to do a self-examination will result in God's examination and judgment. So examine yourselves regularly, not just when we do communion. We do communion 5 times a year, give or take. That's not the time to necessarily only the only time to confess your sins. Every day, every moment of the day, when a thought comes through, when a word comes out, confess it and make it right. Don't wait till the next day to do it. Make things right as quickly as possible. Matthew chapter 20, chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says, do it right away. If you're coming to church and you're ready to give an offering and you remember, I forgot to take care of this business with my brother. Leave that offering there. Go, make it right, and then come back and present your offering. Romans chapter 12, do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Sometimes you got to let it go. The other party's not willing to reconcile. You do what you can. Do what you can to live at peace with one another. Romans 12, verse 18. And then the last couple verses. The principle of waiting. Wait is an attitude or an act of humility. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. So in a moment here, when we take the elements of the communion, the bread, and we'll each take of it individually, and we'll hold it together, and we'll take of it together, waiting on each other. I know it's kind of not exactly the same as it was back in the New Testament times here, back 2,000 years ago, but the principle is still there. We're remembering what Christ has done, and we're waiting for everybody to take it together. We practice open communion. In other words, if you love Jesus and your heart is right with Him, we encourage you to join with us as we partake of this communion. It is for you. If you're struggling with sin, this is for you. This is a reminder to deal with it. It's a reminder to deal with it. Consider others as more important than yourself. So as we go to the communion table now, let's spend some time as the leadership board members. I'd ask three of the leadership board members to come forward and to help with this serving of this. If you would come up now, and as they come up, take some time to just say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me today as I remember your sacrifice?